the life in the Spirit. I want that to be our experience, and I want that to be the thing that captures our attention right now and holds us all the way clear through to the end of June as we pay attention to this together. On a practical note, you won't just get a chance to hear me talking about this regularly in the evenings. You will also get a chance to track with this in more detail through the church's website. We have a website called Elvanto, canterburybaptist.elvanto.com, where each of you will be able to go in and on the front page of that website, you will see across the right-hand side, see the menu item, Life in the Spirit. Click on that and that will take you to each of the studies that we'll be running over the next 8 weeks. It'll include all the Bible readings, all the discussion questions, all the quotes by Francis Chan and Clark Pinnock and a whole bunch of other people you haven't heard of yet. A chance to track in detail, week by week, whether you're here or not, and whether you want to find out more about what was Gordon rattling on about, you'll get a chance to follow that up through that website. For most people, your login is firstname.surname, and then you can set up your own password and such from there, but firstname.surname. Any trouble with getting in there, just call me or text me and I'll make sure it's sweet for you. But that's a chance to track with church news. The church directory is on there as well. You see a menu item there, CBC directory. Then you'll be able to get contact details and such and be in touch with other people in church. You can email from within the system too. And I think I've set it up so you can even SMS from within the system too. So enjoy the opportunity to stay connected that way. I want you to find something you agree with and something you disagree with from the following page, right? Something you agree with and something you disagree with, and then I'll ask people to offer their thoughts. These are a few brief points on the topic of finding your spiritual side by a blog writer called Nicole Yorio. So this is a mainstream blog. It's from our website called redbookmag.com. Simply taps into the fact that lots of people are interested in the idea of what is spiritual stuff and how do we find it. So what's something you agree with or you disagree with in these thoughts? Firstly, to find your spiritual side, look within. Because it is within, as you seek the unknown within you, you will find your spiritual life growing. Secondly, be present. Because as you seek to be present now, you become aware that you are part of something bigger. Thirdly, let go. Put your faith in the unknown and wait to see what might be discovered as you try to let go of control of your day-to-day circumstances. Fourth, meditate. Take time to let go of every conscious thought and hold the silence within you. And fifth, stay connected. Because living spiritually is a daily choice. And it's not just a weekly practice, it's a daily choice. What's something we agree with? On that, and something we disagree with. Where should we start? Someone want to volunteer, or shall I volunteer them? Thanks, Jess, and then we'll volunteer Mandy. What do you reckon, Jess? Oh, okay. What would you add to that? If looking within is a bit narrow, what would you add to that?
Be aware.
Be aware. Yeah? Yeah? Yeah. So it's not just about what you find on the inside, because sometimes there's not a lot there. And there are resources and assets around us as well. Good. M. So there is something that can be known, in other words, hey. And yeah. That's a challenge. Well, yeah, I mean, I've just taken, for the sense of brevity, I've just taken a quick quote. The whole quote is up on the website for you to see. It's a conundrum, it's a real challenge for faith. Because we know there is more to God than we can understand, and yet God does reveal himself. Well, you may as well get a hold of as much as we can that he has shown of us. So, yeah. Good. Other thoughts? Stuff we agree with? Disagree with? Yeah, Keith? Yeah. 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 Again, we have something we can focus on. Let's concentrate deliberately in that. Yep. Rod. Yes, thank you. You're getting the subtleties that go with this. This is very good. What else? Any other thoughts that are burning in folk? Helen? Yeah. So staying connected is something we need to do among one another, not just a sense of an affect of sense of I'm walking around feeling like I'm connected to God, which may or may not be the case. Yep. Yeah, Tom? Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. So there are other ways of appreciating the place of the Spirit other than just meditation. And there can be other corners and ways in which we tap into that. Yeah. Thank you, Tom. That's good. There's Ella. Our relationship with God is like any other relationship, and so you have to work at it. Yeah. And that we'd work on that together. Yeah, Em? The words could be swapped, yes. Oh, it's okay. So stay connected. Life with the Holy Spirit is a daily choice. It's good. Oh, happy to look at you. Okay. Any more? Do you sense the subtleties? I mean, I've deliberately picked something which is, it doesn't even purport to be from a Christian source or a Christian origin at all. This person has a longing for spirituality, has an interest in that, and thinks of spirituality in particular ways, which is very personal, but only personal. It's within us, but in some ways only within us. It is something which involves letting go, and yet we would sense there's all sorts of reasons to take things up and engage, not just disengage, as a result of our faith. I also want to say this, open this up, because we as Christians can sometimes be too quickly dismissive of the interests and things that are running in other people's hearts and minds. Better that we do at least hear the interests and possibilities and such that people are holding, and nurture those, and add to that the particular kind of perspectives that our discovery of God in the person of Jesus can encourage. So hold that up along the way. Let's talk about why we're going to be doing this series, because there's a number of reasons which we already sense in what we've shared. 2,740,000 people per month Google search how to be spiritual. Okay. Significant longing in people to find an answer to that question, or phrases like that. And quite clearly, they don't feel like many of them don't feel like they're going to find that answer within a religious institution, within church. And frankly, it's also much easier just to Google search it than it is to rock up as a random to a congregation and see what they're spinning and what it'll cost you to find out what they've got to say. It's a widespread longing, a widespread longing. Secondly, I want to do this for our enjoyment. I want us to enjoy discovering God and knowing God better and growing in that relationship. And I don't want our faith to be a chore. Occasionally you will get Elvanto reminders, but I don't want it to be a chore. I want it to be something that is enlivening for you and for me, something that brings us joy. Thirdly, I want us to have a credible faith. And there's something when you hear Nicole Yorio's comments and others, you go, well, it's nice for her to carry the interest, but what are the foundations that run underneath those ideas? Has anyone else shared the same idea? Has what she's longing for or saying been true for people across hundreds or thousands of years? What have others discovered? We're not on completely new ground here. The generations and cultures have longed for answers to this, and there's stuff we can learn because God's been showing up and God's been revealing himself. And so there's things we can have a credible faith, not just based on subjective hunches, but based on a long and strong story of the people of God. You, part of the people of God, you discovering that relationship and growing in it more and more. And then it's official, you're all adults here, some younger adults than others. But it's an opportunity to take responsibility for ourselves. No one else can walk this for you. We rightly commented about the circle of relationships, but no one else can put into your relationships other than you. No one else can be the member of the family. No one else can be the member of the church. No one else can be the part of the friendship circle other than the person you're given to be in those places. And that's what I want you to be able to take up in some step forward, a new sense of that relationship. Here's a set of my relationships. While we've been preparing this series, I've also been equally fascinated in putting together my family history. And I checked this morning, how many people know their family history going back, let's say, more three generations or more? So you know your parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. Yeah, a few of you, good. A month ago, I really didn't know much more than this family map here. We had a few names and a few dates, but mostly this was it. So that's my, I'm in the bottom right-hand corner there, and that's my two sisters and my brother in the bottom line. And then the line above that, my parents and their brothers and sisters. Okay. I once met one of my grandparents. And I was a teenager at the time. He'd already had a stroke, and so he wasn't able to communicate, but he knew full well who I was. And suffice to say, there were lots of tears on that time when my family went back to England and we got to visit some family members. And I got to visit most of the crew there. And I got to meet one of my grandparents. In the last month, I've discovered a little bit more than that. Here's half the family. This is my dad's side of the family that I've discovered. And that's my mum's side of the family that I've discovered. And there's a few, in a few cases, the generations roll further back than that too. I'm now pressing into the late 1700s for family members that I've been able to find. Most of whom are complete mysteries to me. I didn't even know Mum's parents' name. I knew Mum was a Gelder, G-E-L-D-E-R, which must have made the horses very nervous, as I mentioned this morning. But beyond that, I didn't even know their names, so I had to go find records and go from there. But why the interest? Why is it that so fascinating? Well, for me, it's fascinating for a few reasons. One is, I think we want to know where we come from. And this is pertinent for tonight's topic. We want to know where we come from. We want to feel connected to life before us and beyond us. And this comes up in the comment Ella and others made before. We want to feel connected. To know where we, who we belong to back before us, and have some sense that perhaps even in what we do, we're contributing to the generations and times after us too. And frankly, how do you know when you're alive? How do you know when you're alive? You can check your pulse, and I'm hoping most of you have brought a pulse with you tonight. But it goes beyond that. I reckon it's relationships which make us feel like we're really alive, like we know ourselves because we know ourselves in relationships to others. How does this plug in for us with our topic for now? Life for all of us comes from God in the Spirit. If we're thinking about this creating spirit, I've got to make it very, very clear. Life for all of us comes from God in the Spirit. The genealogy stuff before showed you generations on generations. How many generations are there in God's people? One. We are all first generation when it comes to the relationship with God. Some of us may or may not be aware of that, but we are all first generation people of God. All of us with that sense of relationship to God. This creating spirit is referred to in Genesis chapter 1, where it talks about God hovering over the waters, longing for life to be formed to begin with. And then we pick it up again in Genesis chapter 2 as God breathes life into humanity. And we, with our science minds, tend to think, right, God taking a bit of topsoil, shaping it into a person, blowing into the nose department of it, and it becoming alive. This is much more about why than how. Why do we live? Because God breathes life into us. God's Spirit breathes life into us and longs for us to live and breathe and move and relate. God makes it possible for that to happen. And this God who has made it possible for us to live is a God who continues to know us and know us fully, as we pick up in Psalm 139. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God delights in us. I'm not sure where you would like to go with these thoughts, what you would like to do with them. There's all sorts of creative ways of expressing this and all sorts of practical ways of expressing it. One creative way is, obviously, sometimes art can say what words can't say real easily. Mind you, this particular image is created only with maths and a computer. This is a fractal, and there's a whole field of fractal art whereby inputting equations and variables, we create beauty. And there is beauty to be discovered for all of us in what lay ahead. But let me offer you a few so what possibilities that run within us from here. Each of us is made alive by the Spirit. As I said before, each of us is made alive by the Spirit. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So I long, absolutely long, that in this couple of months that we share together, every word in you that says, I'm not wonderfully made. I am just a little bit lame. I am just a little bit try-hard. I am more than a bit of a disappointment, is covered by a greater reality, a greater truth that God delights in us. And we might even let that truth soak into our hearts and minds and souls too, and keep pressing into us as we go along. That also that we are connected together. That what you and I are trying to do in getting along with God is not something we have to do on our own. That we're invited to live into this delightful truth, that we might love one another as I have loved you. And that this commitment to love one another is a consequence of the fact that we are all first generation made by God. God giving us life and meaning and being. All this stuff, thirdly for me, gives me a sense of responsibility and opportunity. God makes us. And is that the end of the story? Not at all. God gifts us. God inspires us. God enables us. And we get the opportunity to go and make a difference. By our learning and by our growing and by our committing. And we go and make the sort of difference God wants to make. And realize that we're not trying to control the world around us, but we are going to serve it as best we can. And we realize that along the way, every breath we share is one that is in relationship with God. The one who knows our words even before we say them. In this week, may you have the opportunity to thank God for the wonder of making me. And by that, I mean the wonder of making you, not just the wonder of making me. I'll welcome that too, but I'm thinking of you at this point. The gift we have of one another, and thanking God for the gifts and abilities we have to give to this world. That is all part of the beauty that is offered to us. Let me pray, and then we will sing our closing song, and we'll even have an offering during our closing song for those of you who feel so inclined. We'll work on that too.